Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, who needs to apologize to everyone since for us not having to show at the regular time.
Happy Saturday, Ed.
Happy Saturday, Craig. You know,
that's
I also
all my fault.
Yeah, it is. Moving the show, it's actually not your fault. You moved the show because of someone else's fault. And some jerk black guy who apparently sitting under your velvet painting of Eddie Vedder. And,
how dare you?
And also I blame you for Couture being so offended that we moved the show for a black guy that he drove all the way to Mississippi for a Klan meeting.
Well, I'm sure that's only half true. Number one. We have friends and acquaintances and loved ones in town this weekend here in Seattle. There's a big UFC card, and when the Empire gets together, everything else needs to get out of the way.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you have a guest, an overnight guest last night?
I did. He stayed in our guest room.
Oh, okay. So Brian put up with the black guy up until...
Right.
The Jew bastard got there, and then he kicked the black guy out for the Jew guy.
What is up with your racial epithets today, Ed? One Latino Ed Laredo?
Well, I'm Latino, so I can get away with it. You know, if I was white, it'd be a controversy. It's kind of racist on everyone, but I'm not. So,
Yeah, Rodney got into town the Thursday before last, I'm sorry. Stay with Brian. And Dave Meltzer showed up yesterday morning, so Rodney was quickly transported to my house instead of the couch at Brian's house. So he spent last night here, and I think Justin's picking him up for the evening tonight, and I think Dave flies back Sunday. So, yeah.
And then Rodney will be allowed back into Brian's house. But if he didn't get relegated to Vinny's house like I did, and I was nice enough to visit Seattle.
It's nothing personal, Ed. I just don't trust you.
Yeah. Anyway, did Couture, before he decided to go hang out with his clan buddies, did he send you any news or anything?
No, he totally unprepared. I think I threw a wrench into the plans by saying I could get a guest, which completely fell through. So
yeah,
it's all
awesome.
My
fault.
Yeah, that's totally my fault.
We need to take a lighting count. Everything that messed up this week.
We are very unprepared, and when I say we, I mean mostly me. Let's continue to talk about Seattle for a minute. Yesterday was the weigh-ins for UFC on Fox, which will be airing tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock over this way.
Now I saw a picture that the horsemen took from the weigh-ins, and either you guys just decided to go hang up top, or that thing was full.
It was packed. It was so packed. I've only been to one other weigh-in. This one far exceeded that one. Basically, we got there about 30 minutes early because we figured we'd have plenty of time to get in. And they actually moved one section over on each side because they only had like a third of the key arena for this weigh-in. And they moved one section over and they said, okay, you guys that are standing here, we're going to move you to one section over here, 111. So we all move over there, and then as we've all taken our seats and filled the complete section up, they said, oops, we made a mistake. Some of the fighters' family and friends and photographers are going to be sitting here. You guys need to go up there. So we had great seats, and then all of a sudden we had horrible seats. So we were delegated to the top of the key arena. And we watched the...
I'll put that one on Rodney.
There were some blame being placed to one Rodney, as there are not a lot of black people in the Seattle area. It's just a fact.
So. Hey, we're actually getting a call on the line here, so let me go ahead and take this call on the line. Caller calling from area code 917, is this?
Hey, good afternoon, Big Ed. This is Juan Silva from the board. I just wanted to tell you guys, you and Contreras did a spectacular job last week on that Buddy Roberts Freebird tribute show. Tremendous listen to, man. Every time you guys do the classic wrestling podcast, it's on the money. Ed, I'm a big fan of yours, and Contreras the man. Great, great show. I love your old school wrestling shows.
Cool. Thank you, but unfortunately, Contreras not on the line this week. What was your name again?
One Silver from the board.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the show today, but I just listened to your show from last week. Tremendous show. Ed, when it comes to world-class Mid-South, your knowledge is top of the line, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I actually can, at least in world-class, I can actually say I know more than Couture. Last week, I thought that the show went okay. I'm glad you liked it. I was kind of worried because I was actually coming down with the cold, and my throat was killing me, and Couture was kind of quiet. So, but yeah,
sure.
Thanks for enjoying the show. It's always fun to talk about the Von Erichs. I do it every week, but I probably drive my co-host crazy.
Hey, that six-man match from July 4th, 1983, oh, man, that was might have been the best match ever but between the two as far as the six-man goes. That was just a great, great match. And that promo you did with you put on with Michael Hayes, talked about how he hates Bruiser Brody. That was crappy. Michael Hayes, man, you're right. One of the five greatest promos of all time.
Easy.
Yeah, especially when he's scared or something like that. Yeah, but yeah, that match was awesome. I'm glad Dave posted it on the front page, and it probably is one of their best matches because they all got to like look good during the match. And my favorite spot of the whole match is when they're getting the heat on Terry, where like Michael Hayes has got the bear hug on Terry. And then Terry Gordy puts a bear hug on Terry, and he's selling like crazy for both of them. And then Buddy Roberts comes in and puts him in the bear hug, and Terry just stops noticing kicking his ass. I was like, fucking awesome.
That was great. It's funny you mentioned that because I do a podcast on Block Talk with Logan Time Traveler, and that was called Wrestler's Greatest Matches. And that was one of the matches we did months ago. And we talked about that same spot. That was a tremendous. Oh, man. I mean, Terry Gordy is one of my five favorite wrestlers of all time. I know you love Terry, but quickly, your thoughts on Terry Gordy, Ed?
Oh, well, Terry was awesome. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a big man who was as chunky as he was, who could bump around like he was Kurt Hennig. I mean, he was just great at it. He really came off as a badass. I mean, he's one of my favorite big men of all time. I mean, seeing him and Brody lock up was pretty badass. I'll never forget being live at a show when I was just a little kid, and Terry Gordy and Chick Donovan, the Golden Boy Chick Donovan, actually got some main events in world class against against Killer Kong and Akbar. And Gordy and Kong get into it so fast and so crazy that Donovan and Akbar just stop fighting. They just start watching with everybody else as we follow them around the arena.
You just made a great point. In my opinion, the greatest match in world-class history was Terry Gordy versus Killer Khan with Kerry Von Erich as a special guest referee. That match was just – that was like the highlight of world-class at that point in time. That was such a brutal match. You remember that match, Ed?
Actually, I'm pretty high, and I just woke up, so I'm having trouble remembering, but I'm sure if I put my head to it, I'll remember, because I pretty much saw everything that happened back then.
I'm sure you've got it among your collection. Remember, Killer Khan was brought in by Terry Gordy, and he was supposed to be an associate of the Freebirds, and then Killer Khan turned on Gordy, and that's when they had the Devastation Incorporated versus the Freebirds feud. And then Gordy and Killer Khan had the blow-off feud. And what made this the blow-off match, it was, I believe, a Texas Death match with Kerry Von Erich as a special guest referee. And it came to the conclusion where Kerry helped Terry win the match. And at the end of the match, Terry Gordy and Kerry Von Erich shook hands. And Terry Gordy, he did a great promo. And one thing about Terry Gordy, you talk about how he might have been the greatest big man of all time. He was a very underrated promo guy as well.
He could cut if they kept it short and he got like right to the point and was fired up. You're right. He could cut a good promo. I mean, he couldn't just go out there and like wing it, say like Michael Hayes could do. But
No. Michael was phenomenal. Michael was one of the all time greats. But when you get to watch this match, Ed, I know you've got it somewhere in your collection. Watch it, and then in a future show, you and Contreras could talk about it. I'm sure Contreras has seen it. Because when the match ends, Kerry Von Erich is walking to the back. Terry Gordy grabs the microphone and he goes, "Von Erich, get your ass back in the ring." And then Kerry comes back in the ring and you think they're going to fight because the Freebirds Von Erich feud hadn't ended yet. They shake hands and hug, and that was just great. The crowd went apeshit.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I have it. So if anyone's got a link to it, someone send that to me because that does sound like something I'd like to definitely watch here.
The match happened in the fall of '84, right after the Freebirds failed a stint in the WWF.
Oh yeah, the one TV match, and then they were gone forever.
No, actually, I was at a Madison Square Garden. I'm from New York. I was at a Madison Square Garden card where they debuted. I think they were in the WWF for 2 weeks. They came in as a six-man, and I don't know what happened. They were managed by Cyndi Lauper, and then they were here today, going tomorrow.
Well, the one TV appearance, they were managed by Cyndi Lauper and her manager, that Dave Wolf dude who was always around
David
back
Wolf.
Then.
Yeah, that was her boyfriend,
and, yeah, they came out on TV. They looked like they were super over to me. I thought they did all right, and that was the last time the Freebirds were ever in the WWE as far as TV. So I have no idea. They probably pissed everybody off those 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Probably went in there all in character both ways, and, you know, they probably just scared everybody.
Well, they came that night in the Garden, they came out. They took on three jobbers. I believe Johnny Ross was one of the jobbers. They came out to Bass Street, USA, and the crowd went apeshit. Why? Because at that time, at Madison Square Garden Cable used to show World Class every, I believe, Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. So the fans knew who the Freebirds were, plus the Apis always covered the Freebirds.
Yeah, that might have been something that kind of worked against them, the fact that they were so over just like that. That probably rubbed people the wrong way back then.
But I don't know about that, Ed, because back in 1984, Vince was rating every territory's big star. Like when the JYD first showed up, the fans knew who he was. Buzz Sawyer, when he first showed up, and he was only there for one night, the fans knew who he was. Whenever someone came out new in 84, the fans knew because I believe of the influence of the Aftermath.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, everyone who read the Aftermath pretty much knew who everyone was everywhere else. I mean, that's just a proven fact, one of the reasons why I say Bill Apter deserves to be into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. But I lost my train of thought.
Well, Before I go, the two journalists that belong in the Wrestling Hall of Fame and shouldn't even be voted on is both Bill Apter and Dave Meltzer. I'm going to leave you guys right now. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, like I say, I think Bill definitely deserves to be in, and of course Dave deserves to be in, but Dave will never put himself in, so Dave will never be in until actually he actually retires the newsletter and then somehow Brian puts him in or something.
Man, Bill Apter is responsible for me falling in love with wrestling. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, I could watch all the TV I wanted, but until I, you know, got the Apter mags from my local grocery store or 7-Eleven or what have you, you know, I didn't know what was going on in the rest of the country at that time. And, you know, being isolated up here in the Northwest with a little bit of Portland wrestling and WWF on the television and a little bit of NWA, you know, 1 hour a week, you know, we didn't get all that stuff. You know, I didn't comment a ton on Terry Gordy because didn't see him a whole lot. I didn't see him a whole lot till his ECW run, which was way towards the end where he and Dr. Death had a pretty incredible match with the Eliminators. But, yeah, man, Bill Apter definitely deserves to be in. And Dave's too humble and never let himself into his own Hall of Fame. But, yeah, he totally deserves to be in there. And such a nice guy. I mean, last night at dinner, after we went to the weigh-ins, it was me and Horseman and Rodney and Brian Alvarez and Oliver Kopp and Dave Meltzer and Tony. You know, one end of the table talking UFC and then Dave getting really excited when I was talking about seeing the NWA up here in 1988 when they came. They only came twice as the NWA up here. Trading stories with Dave and him trading stories with Oliver Kopp. And, it was a cool meeting, for sure. And then
hey,
Brian
Craig,
went
now,
along.
Craig, I want to ask Craig a quick question. Craig, you grew up in Portland or Seattle?
I grew up in the Seattle area, yeah.
All right, what wrestling shows did they show, besides cable, like all over the air, what shows were you able to watch in Seattle?
There was a block on Saturday night. It would come on pretty late. It would start at like 10 o'clock. There would be an hour of WWF, basically superstars. And, you know, you'd get like three or four squash matches and then a quote-unquote main event, which was, you know, it would include one of the Moondogs. You know what I mean? It was very little. And then there would be an hour of Crockett, and it was basically the same thing, just an hour. I can't even remember the name of the show. And then after that, you'd get an hour of GLOW and then an hour of the Pro Ladies of Wrestling or something like that. And then towards the end, we got the Bill Apter wrestling news show.
Pro Wrestling This Week, yeah.
Thank you, Pro Wrestling This Week.
Yeah.
And then that was all on Saturday night. But Saturday afternoon, and only very sporadically, we would get big-time wrestling from Portland. And like I said, it would be sporadic. It would be on one of the local stations here. And, you know, you'd have the Grappler and Billy Two Eagles and Playboy and Doug Summers and, you know, all those guys. And just love that stuff, man. Watching Big Scott Hall, you know, start up in there and to see what he's become is kind of hurtful, but we won't talk about that today. But, that's what we had up here. I didn't get to see all that Mid-South, and I didn't get to see all that stuff, you know?
Damn, that's sad to hear. Well, at least with the Brawlers, right. you had Billy Jack, you had Rip Oliver,
had
those guys too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Billy Jack was a staple up here, and my brother actually ran into him in a bar about 5 years ago, gave him a card. I tried calling the number, and it was dead. I remember you mentioned that
on a show about a year ago. You mentioned that on a show because no one seems to know where Billy Jack disappeared to.
No.
And you were talking about how your brother met him, and that you called the phone number, and the phone number was disconnected or something.
Yeah, it's sad. I don't know whatever became of Billy Jack. We had another show up here. It was another Portland show, but I remember that Corporal Kirshner was like their main guy, and that lasted.
And Corporal Kirshner.
All of,
Corporal Kirshner.
Right, and that show lasted maybe 2 months, and then I was gone.
Corporal, if your top star is Corporal Kirshner, 2 months is about maximum that's going to last.
Right. And that's somebody calling the other line. Just forgive that. I'm sorry. we didn't have a lot up here. But it was funny, as I was telling Dave last night, they ran, WWE would come here, and they ran the Tacoma Dome once a month. And as Dave said, they really had the crap together because much like they did in his part of the world, they would come, and before the main event, they would announce the next date and put tickets on sale that day.
They did that since the beginning of the promotion started back in 63, because I used to go to the Garden Cards all the time in the 80s throughout the 90s, that right before the main event, Howard Finkel would come out and he would mention the card for the next month, the entire card. Now, they don't do that anymore, and, you know, that's a lost art. I used to love that, because when they did that, Craig, people, the next day, or even during the event, tickets would go on sale, and people would run to the box office.
Yeah, you'd see people running.
World class used to do that during the shows. Like, they had announced the return date before the main event, and half the freaking audience would run out of their chairs and run straight to the box office, because there was a little box office right there next to the concession stand at the Freeman.
One thing World Class and Portland had in common is that their television shows were great, because it wasn't squash matches they showed on Portland Wrestling and World Class. It was main event matches every week, which none of the other promotions did.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Well, Mid-South did. They just always cut it off before the end of the main event, and it used to just piss me off.
Mid-South would show, with the last 5 minutes of the show, they'd start a match, let's say Terry Gordy versus Dr. Death, and then you got Jim Ross screaming, we'll see you next week. But World Class and Portland would show the entire match.
Mid-South used to piss me off so bad.
You kept coming back, though, didn't you?
Yeah, because it was like a soap opera. It was a cliffhanger. But you know what? Ed and Craig on Mid-South and UWF, the following week, they wouldn't even talk about what happened the week before. They would just be a brand new card. They wouldn't talk about what happened at the Gordy Williams match when it went off the air. That used to really upset me about Bill Watson, the way he ran his television. Even though it was a tremendous TV show, that shit at the end, it made you come back for more, but they would never talk about it. It was like, it happened. You know, like it never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it kept the main guys from doing jobs, for one thing. So I guess it was to keep everybody strong, you know what I mean?
You know, ECW used to do that back in the day, but they did something that Bill Watts never figured out. If you want to see the end of this match, go to our telephone number here and buy the promo cassette.
The video tape,
you too can see out for only $55.99.
Wait, seriously?
I couldn't pick up that phone fast enough, brother. Where's that phone? Geez.
I don't feel so bad about being worked about watching Tweet Craig's Order.
Dude, we didn't even get ECW TV up here. I had this guy in New York send me he would get 4 episodes off the tube and send them to me, and then I would in turn send him a copy of the event tape, you know. Because I didn't get to see all the promos and stuff like that. I just watched the live event, you know. And, of course, they would do the live event, and they would chop it up into our things for their TV, you know. So I didn't get to see all the – but, I bought up every one of those commercial tapes. I got 40 of them.
So, Craig, when did ECW start airing in Portland? You didn't get to watch it until it was on
the national
network?
I got to watch myself and Brian Alvarez and Mike Blinn when I first started wrestling. We found out that Fox Sports actually carried them back east, and so we got Fox Sports Net up here to actually we had a write-in campaign and had people actually, I've handed out flyers at local shows to have people call in and demand that they put ECW on the TV here, and they ran it for 2 months, and then it was over with. And,
wow.
And then I had to go back to, and I had to go back to my tape source in New York to get the tapes.
Well, in New York, they showed ECW. At one time, ECW was on the air three times during the week on Channel 31, on MSG, and on the national network. You had some, like you said, some parts of the country didn't get ECW at all. In New York, we had Overkill. We got it three times, once on a Friday and twice on a Saturday night.
And now on my DirecTV, I remember the cat that was recorded for me would record it off the Sunshine Network. And on my DirecTV now, you know, fast forward years later, I have the Sunshine Network. Oh, my gosh, that figures.
You know what's sad?
You
know what's sad, fellas? We talking about how back then we had all this wrestling on television. And today, the only television we have is garbage. I don't even follow today's product. Ed, Craig, what do you think about today's product and why it's so damn stale?
It's too much. If they put that amount of wrestling let's take Monday night, for instance. Monday night, 3 hours worth of wrestling on WWE. That's fine. If, in fact, you had something compelling to watch and you had good matches to watch. I loved that four-way match with Antonio and Wade Barrett, Kofi, and there's one more, but was Sheamus in that one? Anyway, that match was great. I loved that match. The match with Alberto and Sin Cara, even though Sin Cara got blowed up there at the end, that was a good match. If they could deliver that much wrestling on a two-hour program, I would be fine with that. But instead, we have to have AJ and John Cena kissing on live TV and Vicky Guerrero complaining about it. And then after they kiss, they both throw up their hands and go, "We ain't doing nothing." Come on. And John Cena, not more than 2 weeks ago, had a knee injury and worked the main event against Dolph Ziggler. And won, by the way. And didn't sell his knee one time. Come on. I'm not 12 years old anymore.
You know what? That really pisses me off about today's product is that type of crap that they try to shove down our throat. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And it's too much talking, too many skits. I agree with you, Craig. If you had a two-hour Monday Night Raw where you focused on the matches, you have a lot of great athletes out there. Focus on the matches, one or two angles. I think wrestling would be bigger than what it is right now. Because right now, in my opinion, and you can see as the ratings go, it's at an all-time low.
I'll tell you, the one thing that really sticks out to me is I don't remember any of the angles that happened on Monday night. But I can remember years ago, Ric Flair jumping off the top rope onto the back of Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
I can remember him jumping off the top rope with a knee on the back of Ricky Morton's head and busting his nose and having to wear a faceplate for 3 months after that. When the horseman jumped him and, quote-unquote, broke his nose. I remember that. I can't remember his name sometimes, but I remember that angle. And yet I can't remember what happened on Impact, on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's sad. You remember all the big angles during the Attitude Era, during the Hulkamania Era, during the Territorial Era, but you don't remember anything that happened the last month. That just shows you how bad the product is today. I mean, I can remember, and Ed Potter can remember this. Remember when Flair wrestled when Flair wrestled Terry at that Christmas '82 show, and Terry Gordy slammed the cage in Flair's head. Ed, you remember that? You was a little boy at the time.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the, 7-foot ginger who was, sitting kind of behind Terry Gordy around that corner who, with Terry Gordy slammed the door, security had to come in and pretty much grabbed the dude because he was about to go fuck crazy.
Oh, my God. Hey, Ed, when you used to go to the shows to watch the Freebirds versus the Von Erichs, were the Freebirds in trouble with the fans trying to attack them with knives and stuff like that?
You know, I never saw anyone, like, try to, like, attack them. I mean, they got, you know, people screaming and yelling at them, and, but no one ever tried to get physical with them. I mean, the most physical thing I ever saw at a show was involved me when I threw, like, a whole bag of popcorn all over General Skander Akbar during that.
Oh,
that,
yeah, man.
Bloody Killer Kong match. And he just turns to me with his finger, like, waves his finger and turns back around and starts to keep watching the match.
Man,
how old were
you
at the time,
man?
How old were you at the time when you threw the popcorn on Skander Akbar?
Probably like 12 or 13.
Well,
man, you had a Brent Kremen moment, Ed. You had a Brent Kremen moment. And the only difference, because Ed was 13 and Brent Kremen was like 30.
Ed, speaking of the Freebirds, right, and I wish I could have called the last week when you did the Freebirds tribute show. When Michael Hayes accidentally blinded the Junkyard Dog, that made them big stars and the biggest heels probably in Mid-South history, and they were feuding with the Junkyard Dog, and they did this whole thing where the JYD was supposedly blind, and, you know, people actually sent money to the Junkyard Dog's house, I mean, to Mid-South Wrestling for the Junkyard Dog because they thought he couldn't wrestle anymore. When he came back to do, like, a retirement speech in New Orleans, he came in the ring. He had the dark sunglasses and the cane. The Freebirds came in the ring to, like, they were going to attack JYD because he was supposedly blind. You know, a fan came in the ring with a gun and said, "Don't worry, dog, I got your back." And the JYD couldn't do anything because he was thinking that he was blind. I mean, the Freebirds could have actually been shot right then and there.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
And when you get passion out of fans where they're throwing garbage and they're hitting the ring, then you know you're selling tickets and your product is good. We haven't had a good fan beating in a long time, I'll tell you what. That's what we need.
The one thing that, like, was world class when it came to, like, physicality is, not so much anyone putting their physicality toward the wrestlers, but, oh, my God, if you were in the past of any girl from the age of 5 to fucking 80, you were about to get fucking forearmed out the fuck away. I mean, the girls would just go, they would go apeshit when the Von Erichs came. They literally, now the Von Erichs, they got attacked, they got raped, they got molested, all the way to the ring. So, I mean, it was like the opposite effect. You know, it says that the mean heels getting attacked, it was the baby faces that were getting attacked in San Antonio.
Hey, Ed, how much ass do you think the Von Erich boys got back in the 80s?
More than a toilet seat.
How much ass do you think the Von Erich boys got back in the 80s? Because I know girls did go crazy when it came to the ring.
Chris Von Erich was getting laid before he could probably even get a boner at the time. That's how they were, what they were getting. And that's actually a true story because they used to do that all the time with him.
Oh, my God. I just love talking old school wrestling. All right, fellas, I'm out of here. You guys continue. And Ed, Greg, keep doing a great job. Ms. Contreras, you guys, one of the best podcasts out there. And I agree with you, Ed. There's got to be a way where they put you on the main page, put you on the Figgy Four payroll, because your show is better than Wrestling Weekly. It's better than Adam and Mike. It's better than all that garbage, all right? Only thing better than your shows is whenever Dave appears and talks about a wrestler who just died. You guys, you do a great job. Keep it up, big man.
Cool, man. Thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it.
That was awful nice
to lie
like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I sent Brian an email not too long ago. And The first thing I even put, I said, "Brian, I'm not trolling you, dude. I'm asking you seriously. Not a troll." And I kind of mentioned what the numbers we've been doing for the shows, like, every week. And I asked him what they compared to the other shows. Not his shows, mind you. I would never even think about competing with fucking Wrestling Observer Radio or the Brian and Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, you know, compared to Adam and Mike and Carl and Alan's show, I just, you know, what? How, I mean, do we do good? Or are we like, you know, just how are we doing? And I didn't get a response, so I'm feeling that we're doing pretty good.
I'm at the point now where I just don't even bother. I'll be honest with you. I'm fine where we're at. I don't want I don't want him to dictate what we do. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so, and if he'd probably want to be like, okay, you can't make fun of Gabe anymore.
Well, there's probably that, but just, you know, he wants us to get equipment and stuff like that, and, you know, he hates the audio on the show, and I agree with him. I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's a hard listen, but hey, we're doing it for free, and it shouldn't cost us anything, so.
I really don't think it sounds, I mean, we've had audio problems. That's not, but for the most part, to me, I think we're fine. I mean, I guess if you spend a lot of money and you're fine-tuned to, like, a certain sound, maybe you need that perfection or something. But, I mean, I've never actually had a problem with the quality of our show. And it's kind of to the point where, honestly, if we went to the front page, we could actually lose listeners now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have a theory in my life that I live by. You get what you pay for. So, we might be the best value of free podcasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to we, before we were so greatly interrupted, but I don't even want to say interrupted because that was an amazing phone call. But we were talking about UFC, which is on tonight.
I'm sure you've been excited all week, especially when Couture bowed out yesterday. You're like, I get to talk to UFC.
Well, Couture doesn't watch UFC, so you know it's going to be a good card when Dave Meltzer actually boards a plane from California and Oliver Kopp gets in a plane from Germany to come watch
a live
show.
You're making too much of the Oliver Kopp thing because Oliver Kopp will fly to Antarctica if there's a fucking cockfight he wants to see. Okay?
This might be true.
And I don't understand it because, I mean, he's bigger than me, and it's not the most comfortable thing getting on a 4 or 5 hour flight, and that dude goes transatlantic, like, weekly.
Right.
It's a foreign countries. So unless he's always cruising first class or something, it's hard to imagine how someone could become so used to doing that. Now, the thing with Dave was a guarantee once he knew he didn't have to spring money on a hotel. Come on.
I'll say this. I told Brian and Dave last night, I said, I always love it when Oliver Kopp's in the room because now I am the second biggest man in the room. So, anyway, on the Fox show tonight, we have four main fights. We have Mike Swick versus Matt Brown. This is a really underrated fight, and I think it's going to be very good.
And we'll see where Mike Swick is. If he's recovered and, you know, fully recovered from his illness, I think he should win the fight. If he's not, you know, Max Brown's a tough guy. You know, I mean, I've seen him have good fights. I've seen him have bad fights. So, you know, this was all in Mike Swick's health, and we'll see where he's at on this one.
I will tell you this little scoop from behind the scenes yesterday. Nate Diaz likes people that he respects. Nate Diaz was gushing over Mike Swick yesterday, just being very respectful, calling him sir. So if Nate Diaz can respect this guy, I think I can too. In one of the semi-mains, they don't really have these as semi-mains. I think this one is going on second from the top, but I may be wrong. The biggest fan favorite in the crowd yesterday, BJ Penn versus Rory McDonald.
This is one of the fights for my current anti-UFC sentiment, is hoping that BJ wins and we can kill one of the future superstars.
Unfortunately, I don't see that happening.
If he does it in the first round, he's got a chance.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It was funny where we were sitting yesterday. There was a bunch of people in our section that looked very similar to Mr. Penn. Like, I think most of his family is here from Hawaii.
Whenever I've been to a few Big Ten fights, and you do get a lot of people from Hawaii coming to the fight.
I was shocked. I mean, there was a man, I had to do a double take. I thought it was BJ Penn, but then I looked at his face and it was a little bit older. But I don't know if it was dad or a brother or whatever, but lots of the Penn clan here in the Northwest today.
The most incredible, because I've been to a lot of USB shows by now, I mean, a lot. But the most incredible one, as far as like just freaking out on the fans and just being, you know, for just the my crowd awareness will never be topped between the the second BJ GSP fight, because
yeah.
I was sitting there with Sideswipe, who's Canadian, and to the right they're Canadians, to the left they're Hawaiians. In front of us they're Canadians, behind us they're Hawaiians. It was crazy, and you know, luckily no one around our area was like starting shit as far as like being, you know, assholes towards the other ones, but everyone was sure as hell was, you know, cheering their dude, you know, booing the other guy. You know, it could have got ugly, but luckily it didn't. But yeah, that's the most, as far as like crowd reaction, I'll never forget that one. That was pretty crazy.
In another semi-main event bout, we have Shogun Hua versus Alexander Gustafsson. I give the slight edge to Shogun.
I've never, for some reason, I just can't find anything likable about Shogun. I mean, he had me wanting Brandon Vera winning a fight, and I hate Brandon Vera's death. So hopefully Gustafsson will knock him out, and you know, he can actually be a contender. Because right now you have a bunch of guys in that division who are good, but not good enough to beat John Jones. And in Gustafsson, you have someone who he hasn't fought and who's actually on a bit of a win streak. So if he can win, he'll actually have like a legitimate contender, you know, to have a fight with, you know. So we'll see what happens. And he's got reach, you know. Jones won't have to. His advantage won't be as big. So it could be someone to look out for in the future.
Definitely. And in the main event, of course, this is the main event of the Fox card, we have Nate Diaz versus champion Benson Henderson. This match is very intriguing to me. You got Nate Diaz, whose boxing is just absolutely sick. With that said, you got Ben Henderson with the most brutal leg kicks possibly in the sport. Diaz jiu-jitsu is off the charts good. With that said, Benson Henderson's wrestling is off the charts. This is going to be a great fight. And I kind of see it going five rounds. Yesterday at the weigh-ins, the second most overman was Nate Diaz. Ben Henderson, who is from Tacoma originally, just a few minutes up the road here, moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Maybe they should have left that part out on the video here for the home crowd. But Ben Henderson came out yesterday wearing Gary Payton Supersonics jersey. You would have thought this would have got a pretty decent pop, but instead I heard people around me going, man, he's just playing to the crowd. That's BS. Boo. So it did not get over. It looked like he was pandering to the audience. I think the crowd is going to be fully behind the thug, Nate Diaz. So I think it's going to be a tremendous fight, though. I'm really excited to see it. By the way, Gary Payton did retweet at Benson Henderson, hey, thanks for wearing my jersey today at the weigh-ins. Thought that was kind of cool. So that's your lineup for Fox tonight. Again, it's on at 8 o'clock Eastern and 5 o'clock Pacific. Make sure you check it out. It's going to be a good one, a real good one. And I think the undercard fights are on FX starting at 2 o'clock our time here, and 5 o'clock on the other coast. and there's actually an hour's worth of Facebook fights. So theoretically, you could be watching UFC for almost 7 hours.
There should just be only one Facebook fight. So they'll probably announce it for like a half hour before the FX show, but it probably won't go into a little after that. Facebook fights never start on time, but there is just one Facebook fight because they did have to cancel some fights.
The Facebook fight is Scott Jorgensen from Boise, Idaho. Scott Jorgensen is the Asian kid with the wacky mohawk against Puyallup's own, yes, my hometown, John Albert.
Did you say Scott Jorgensen is an Asian kid?
Yeah, he's the Asian kid with the red mohawk. Or is he? Am I way off base saying he's an Asian kid?
He ain't an Asian, dude.
Is he Hawaiian?
He's Mexican.
Okay, well, like I said, that Mexican kid, Scott Jorgensen.
He's a Mexican kid, and he's got Michael Jackson disease.
I see. Well, anyway, that young man is fighting Puyallup's own John Albert. And the main event, I'm pretty sure it's the main event of the prelims on FX, is Dennis Seaver against Nam Phan. And that'll be a really good fight as well.
Yeah, that should be pretty good. There were some good fights on the undercard, so it should be a decent show. Now, is Rodney going to the show?
I'm sorry?
Is Rodney going to the show?
No, because Rodney's not going to the show. I told Tony to find another buyer for my ticket, so we're actually going to watch it in my living room tonight.
Oh, wow. I got to give Rodney credit. The last night, say we were in Vegas, when we left Vegas this past July for the convention, we made a pact that we weren't spending money on UFC ever again, and I'm very proud that he's upholding this condition. That or he's just broke.
Well, Tony had a ticket for me. It was a good ticket. It was reasonably priced, and I was all on board, and then I found out Rodney wasn't going to be able to go, and then I found out Justin wasn't going to be able to go.
I bet you're like, who the fuck Rodney coming to?
So I told Tony, I said, hey man, can you find another buyer for my ticket? I'm gonna have these guys over, and we're gonna get some good pizza, and we're gonna watch it in my living room, best seat in the house. So
who bought your ticket?
I'm not sure.
You know what you should have done? This is what you should have done, Craig. Because is Brian sitting? Or no, Brian probably got the secondary pass. You know, he probably was in the balcony in the box seat. But I was gonna say if Brian was sitting with the group, you should have arranged for that ticket to go to Brent Freeman, even if you had to buy the price of that ticket.
You know, popping for the $90 to send Brent Freeman to sit next to Brian Alvarez for 7 hours. Yeah, that would have been worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been money well spent, actually. But no, him and Dave and Tony all have press passes. Oliver had a press pass, and then it was the three jokers on the other end of the table. And I was just like, you know what, Tony, can you get rid of this ticket? He goes, oh yeah, I can get rid of it, no problem. So go ahead and take it. Go ahead and get rid of it. I'll just.
How did Tony get a press pass?
You know what? I don't know. Obviously, every media outlet is assigned.
Well, you know what?
One,
it's because they're not
pass.
In Vegas. They're not in Vegas, so they have. True. I'm sure they. Yeah, that's what it is. That's
true. There was a ton of press there last night. I'll tell you what.
Because the way it works now. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what might have happened. Okay, I know what might have happened. Okay, when Dave used to go to the shows, he didn't use the Observer Pass. Dude. He used the Yahoo Pass, and Brian used the Observer Pass.
There you go.
So now I think Dave's part of Ariel's website. So he might be getting a pass through Ariel's website, and then, you know, of course, Brian gets the Meltzer Pass. Because for a while, Meltzer was getting ringside, and Brian was getting the box, which was, you know, kind of a downgrade. But hopefully that's kind of how they did it.
Yeah, with the conversation going on last night, they're probably going to the next three events. They're really stoked for the next few fights. So.
Okay, you know what? Apparently I'm wrong, because according to the Durgensen's Twitter, he's half Japanese, half Caucasian.
Oh,
I guess that's why he looks Mexican. It's that Michael Jackson disease that he has. It throws me off. Like I figured he was Mexican and he just was turning white.
You know what? Daniel Bryan's got a little bit of that too.
That's just because he can't get a suntan on his full body.
He's got some blotchy parts on his forearms and on the back part of his arms. He's got the same kind of thing. It's just not as pronounced as Scott Jorgensen. Anyway, going to be a good time tonight. I wanted, since Couture's not here, we can continue to talk some UFC for a few. The two next big fights for Anderson Silva look to be against GSP and against Bones Jones.
Have you, been reading any news lately?
No, I haven't. To be honest with you,
because you know that they've already decided on GSP's new opponent, and it's not Anderson Silva.
Yes, it's Nick Diaz.
Yes, so the UFC, who is not the WWE, because they are a real sport, decided that we're going to have our champion. He's not going to defend against the guy who we just said is the last show is the number one contender when he knocked out his second of top five guys and is on a 5-foot win streak. No, we're going to give the title match to the guy who lost to the interim champion and then failed his drug test on that day and hasn't fought in a year. So let's just change the name to Ultimate Fighting Entertainment and be done with it. Come on.
Okay. Now, I saw your post on Facebook about this, and I have this issue. Number one, that match between GSP and Nick Diaz was supposed to take place.
It was supposed to take place, and then Diaz screwed it up.
Right.
And then GSP got hurt, and then you had the next two guys, which was Diaz and Condit. And believe me, I was going for Diaz in this fight. But Condit ended up winning. If you go back and watch it, Condit won the fight fairly.
Condit fought a smarter fight. He stayed away from the Diaz sick, sick boxing skills. And he won that fight. Now, there was a little bit of controversy. I don't think so on my part. I clearly thought Condit won.
Well, that night, I was demanding a rematch, but I did watch the fight later on, and Condit won. He won the fight. He stuck in loose.
Oh, I agree.
It was infuriating, but he won the fight.
I agree. He fought a smart fight. So, Johnny Hendricks on the last pay-per-view knocked his man out in, 28 seconds?
Something like that.
Oh, crazy impressive.
After beating Dark Koscheck and also knocking out John Fitch in the exact same way to go along with a couple other fights.
Absolutely. So, I put it to you on your Facebook post. Johnny Hendricks, as good as he is, I don't think carries the name that Nick Diaz carries.
The difference. This isn't WrestleMania or the Royal Rumble where you're trying to spike a fiery. This is an actual sport where you're supposed to have the champion fight the number one contender.
I totally agree.
Now, there are some cases, some people will say, well, Ed, you wanted Shell to fight Jones. I wanted Shell to fight Jones the week that should happen.
True.
Because there was no choice. You had a guy who was willing to step up and keep the show from being canceled. I have no problem with that. That's an emergency situation. It wasn't planned that way. Now that you got Jones fighting Shell, after Shell's lost his last, well, I can't say his best fight. He lost the two Silva fights, and and he's moving up in weight class, and they were fought in that weight class. Now it's like, no, that's not fair. That's bullshit. That's just you trying to go for a quick buck. If you want to advertise your sport as being legitimate, you got to make the decisions, and that you got to pick one way or the other. I don't think they can have their cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? I go yes. GSP versus Nick Diaz is going to make more money. It's going to make $200,000, $300,000 more. But the fact is you're going to piss people off, and people who see that as not being legitimate. Nick Diaz lost his last fight. Nick Diaz came off a drug failure. And then plus a goddamn drug tail suspicion. He should at least have to fight one fight just to make up for that. Because now you got a guy coming off a drug suspicion. He's going to get himself a title match. You're going to have Cyborg come off her drug suspension, and I guess her first guarantee her fight will be against Ronda. You got all over Ring, who caused controversy on multiple fights and failed in his drug test, who tried to run out the fuck, get in his car and run out the and run when they told him he was going to get a drug test. He's getting a number one contender shot. I mean, I'm almost surprised they didn't just put him in the title match. At least they're giving him one more fight. But it's like, it's not good when you're rewarding people who are coming off suspensions because you're basically telling them, okay, just take your little break and then we'll promote you when you come back. No big deal. It's bullshit that they're making this fight, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to enjoy the hype because they're going to build it pretty good. But as far as what's fair and right, it's fucking bullshit. Johnny Hendricks, to get that fight, there's no argument. I don't care. The Diaz will make more money is not an argument here because this isn't WWE. This is freaking UFC. It's supposed to be real.
Okay, well, how about this then? GSP goes down with a knee injury. Diaz goes down with a slap on the wrist for smoking a little weed. So they both go down due to, shall we say, unforeseen circumstances, okay? So that fight was going to take place. So both of them had issues to where they couldn't have that fight. So I don't want to say logically, but if that's where they were going next, now that the title's back on GSP, and yes, I understand Johnny Hendricks does hit like a mule. Don't get me wrong. But since GSP has the title, his knee is good, Diaz is coming back, I think it's logical that they do that fight. It's going to sell a ton of pay-per-views. There's not going to be an empty seat in that arena. Whoever wins that fight gets Johnny Hendricks. No questions asked.
It's still not fair. It's bullshit. You know, the reason that fight didn't happen in the first place is because Diaz fucked it up himself. It wasn't because of unforeseen circumstances. The circumstances with Diaz is an asshole.
Well, I can't argue with that. But yeah, it's going to be a great fight.
And they're also doing something really stupid, and that is the Ronda Rousey's first opponent. I mean, basically, it's like they're doing it for PR to promote that they actually have a gay fighter fighting in the main event of a show. I mean, this Carmouche has lost like her last two fights, if I'm not mistaken, and she's getting the title match. I mean, if anything, they should tell Misha to just suck it up. I know you're scared of her. Just get your ass kicked again and take some money. Or they should have got Sarah McMahon.
Kaufman.
Well, she just beat her. They should have got Sarah McMahon, who's undefeated coming up. She's a silver medalist in amateur wrestling at the Olympics. I mean, you could have had the Olympic dynamics. They're picking. It's an easy fight for Ronda and not that the other ones wouldn't be easy. I mean, cause I see Ronda beating all of them, but they could have picked a better opponent for her first one. It's like they want her to. They're putting her in a position to fail. Hopefully she won't fail, because hopefully she's really the only thing in the UFC that I actually like right now, and hopefully she won't fail. But she's in a position where she's fighting a no-name, and you already have your disadvantage as being a woman. So, I mean, people can use this as if they don't get the buy rates to be like, oh, you know, they can't draw, whatever, you know. So I think they could have picked a better opponent for her on that fight is also.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Also, they gave Ronda the title. She didn't have to do anything for it. They just kind of, okay, you got the Strikeforce title. Well, here's the brand new UFC title.
Well, that's what they did with the... That's what they did with, like, some of the WEC titles.
I know, but...
Aldo didn't win the UFC title. Dominic Cruz didn't win the UFC title. So why is it different? You know why? Because you're a chauvinist, Craig.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. You see, you think women be barefoot pregnant in the kitchen.
Yes, I hate...
You just offended, like, 2% of our audience.
I just... Come on, 0.5%. I hate pretty blonde girls that are athletic. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah, that I can't believe they're actually letting her headline that pay-per-view. That blows me away. But that's another story for another time. But yeah,
that's only a pay-per-view though. I could see her in Cyborg headlining the July show, and that's one of the biggest ones. I mean, seeing her headline the show is not that difficult to see. She just doesn't have the right opponent to headline this show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before I forget, if you are a fan of one Misha Tate, she will be at my good friend Matt Farmer's bar, which is directly across the street from the Key Arena. So if you're anywhere in the sound of my voice, make sure you head on over there and meet one, the beautiful Misha Tate and her thug boyfriend. And he's got a couple other fighters lined up. I can't remember exactly who they were, but they're going to have a fight party over there before and after and during. So check out Stir Seattle directly across the street from the Key Arena.
Does Matt work there or he owns the bar?
He's a third owner of this place called Stir Seattle. It's pretty. We're gonna drop in on him last night, but it got late, so Oliver Kopp took us to a nice restaurant called Pesos that I had actually never been to, and find a Mexican establishment that actually had easily the hottest waitresses and hostesses that I've seen in the Seattle area. So check them out too. Pesos is up in Queen Anne Hill. Anyway.
They had real Mexican food in Seattle. Come on.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I enjoyed the heck out of it. But it wasn't Tex-Mex like I got in Texas a few weeks ago, I'll tell you that. But it was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, wait, what? I'm sorry, I thought you were saying something. My bad.
No.
So, I'm glad that you decided to step away from that big box of donuts to do the show.
Yeah, me too.
That, I asked Rodney, I'm like, Rodney, you know, my show got moved because of you. You know, he speaks in one-word sentences and he turns down on the show. Can you stay on the show for a couple minutes and grace us with your presence? And he's like, no, I have other fans. And it turns out his other fans is to eat goddamn donuts while we're talking on the show.
No, I put him down. I finished my coffee, though.
And I know that picture was just to troll me, too. So thanks a lot, Craig. I appreciate it.
Well, we've been trolling you all weekend. Come on now.
You know, I just wish one of you people would nice enough to. Maybe I would be nice for a change if someone sent me a maple bar.
Is that all it would take? Because I'll put it in the mail tomorrow.
Speaking of people being mean to me, I had sent Granny a message the other day, and I'm like, hey, Granny, on the show, if you get a chance, why don't you wish me and Anchor a happy birthday since our birthday is the day before.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe you get Brian to sing. Well, she didn't see the message before the show, but she saw it after the show, I guess right after the show, and sent me a message saying, I saw this after the show. I'm not wishing you a happy birthday until you behave yourself. So I got shunned on my birthday by Granny.
Yeah. Yeah. She was on fire the last couple of days.
Last couple of days? When did you see her?
Oh, just on the shows and stuff.
But I love how Granny posts that. She's all excited. She's going to have lunch with Rodney. And I'm like, oh, wow, maybe Rodney will take her somewhere nice. And then they're posted a picture from Wendy's.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie's all,
where
you want to go?
Hey, to be fair, if you get, how do I say this politically correct? The older people are kind of set in their ways. And if you get them out of their comfort zone, they don't enjoy themselves. So I think taking her to Wendy's was a fine idea.
I guess that's right. She's been happy, so I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I remember Wendy's was actually my first high school job.
Oof.
And this is back when they had the all-you-can-eat buffet.
At Wendy's?
Yeah, Wendy's used to have a buffet.
Get out of here.
they had like the salad bar, and then they had like it was like a three part thing. They had the salad bar, and then in the middle they had like the chili, and then they had like spaghetti, garlic bread. It was like maybe two kinds of pastas with like two kinds of sauce. They had the chili. They had some, you know, cheap ass Mexicans that you make tacos or stuff like that. And then they had the salad bar. And it was a bitch thing to watch all that shit at the end of the night. Because, yeah, it was like a pretty shitty salad bar, so everything was kicked out. And I was, whenever I closed, that's what I had to do, was close the back. So I have to fucking watch all that bullshit. But the only good thing about Wendy's is there was so many other high school, hot girls in high school working there at the time.
Well, that goes to say with any restaurant job experience that I ever had, so.
I'll never forget this one girl that I worked with. She was actually a cheerleader at my school. And we were closing one night, and it would always be two guys, two girls. One guy doing the back, one guy doing the grill, one girl doing the salad bar, and one girl doing the dining room. So I'm in the back washing dishes, and I hear a scream, and just a bang. It was like a loud, like almost like a gunshot. So I rush to the other side, and I'm running around the corner to where the freezer is. And while I'm doing that, the other guy, he's doing the same thing. So we're like converging on the freezer. And it was like the cooler, there's like some space between the cooler door and the floor. So there was all this ketchup that was splattered underneath the door. That was like splattered, like that came out through the door, kind of like a horror movie. And we're like, holy shit. I mean, it literally looked like blood, like fucking Psycho or something. So we opened up the cooler, and I don't know if they still use these at the Wendy's. I haven't eaten inside of Wendy's, but they have the ketchup pump where you get your own ketchup.
Sure.
Well, the big container that's under the counter that, you know, you pump from, they were putting that away, and one of the waitresses let it fall back, and it fell right on top of her head. So we're in there, and there's one of the girls is wearing just like a helmet. So it's catching all over the room. The other girl takes like the thing off of her head, and she is just caked in ketchup. I mean, it was like fucking Carrie from the, even worse than Carrie. And I just remember having to bend this girl over my sink and fucking spray her down with the fucking the dishwashing hose, the high powered spray. And fucking clear all this fucking ketchup, man, off of her. And then I ended up having to give her a ride home, so then my car smelled like ketchup for a week. It was like. But that's my biggest memory from my job at Wendy's.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I had a crappy Pizza Hut job there for about 4 or 5 months. I was actually, at one time I was working three different jobs. Just right out of high school, I was working for my dad. He worked at a warehouse, kind of like a Costco type place. He was a manager there, and then I worked at my job in the butcher shop. I was at a butcher shop for about 5 years, and then, you know, because they were slow, because it wasn't hunting season or anything like that, my buddy got me a job over at the Pizza Hut, and man, never again. That was like three of the worst months of my life doing all that. Never again.
Craig, I just refreshed my Facebook page, and the first thing I saw just literally scared the living hell out of me. You might want to put it on Facebook, but be very cautious.
I see. I'm scared.
It's actually a picture of, I don't know if this is Photoshop or not, dude. But it's apparently Granny's trying to look like, I don't know.
Huh.
Is this real?
No. Well,
it has to get Matt Carey. He's being the judge of that one. And it looks like Granny's going out to like a ball or something.
Hmm. Well, that's, I'm going to have to
burn that. It's her profile picture, so it's not like it's someone making fun of her. Maybe it really is Granny.
Huh. And I see right below that our good friend JJ has found an app where you can put your face on Psy and you can do the Gundam style. So you transform your face onto the Gundam style dancer. That looks tremendous.
Well, I'm actually no longer friends on Facebook with JJ. Let me tell you this story. So there's this little, how old is he, 12, 14?
He's probably 15 or 16 by now, I guess.
Well, whatever he is, he's this little kid, little punk. Sir Highlight son, who we allowed to hang out with us. Well, he's been on Facebook. He's been constantly trolling me, which is fine, because everybody trolls me on Facebook, no big deal. But I trolled him, and he got all mad and unfriended me. And then to try and rub it in, even though I couldn't respond, he posted a photo where he tagged you, or he tagged Rodney, or maybe it was you and Rodney, but he posted that photo, and they put all my friends from Mania, except for Edward Laredo, but not being stupid, even though he unfriended me, he still tagged Rodney and you, I could still post, so I was like, you know, oh, you hurt my feelings, nod, and ha-ha, you thought you I couldn't comment, but I could, you dumbass. Why don't you learn something in school or something? And so then he's like, either totally blocked me or he just deleted the comment or deleted the picture.
I just think it's tremendous. You're having a fight with a 14-year-old.
He started it. He started it, but I won.
He started it. Oh, that puts the capper on that story right there. He started it.
Dude, I trolled Granny. He was a 14-year-old. Oh, man. I just don't want to get all the day's fun, that's all.
Oh, yeah. We got 20 minutes. Holy crap! I thought we were wrapping up.
Yeah, I was gonna just put it for an hour, but then I was like, I just forced Craig to talk for an hour and a half.
Yeah, good thing we had that caller call in. Otherwise,
right? No kidding. So, is there anything else that you want to talk about in this wacky world?
You know, we pretty much aired all the things I wanted to say with our caller. I mean, he threw it out there, so we kind of discussed my disgust with pro wrestling right now and got everything out of the UFC out of the way, and I'm good. I'll be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about, I don't know if you're the right person to talk about this because I'm not sure how much you're into basketball, but maybe you're bitter about the Sonics, so maybe you are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you think about, okay, every year in the history of basketball, at the end of the season, the teams that aren't going to the playoffs, they sit players to get better lottery picks. And the teams going into the playoffs will sit players to, you know, rest them for the playoffs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at the end of the season. Now,
sure.
My team has a couple older dudes on it. One has one older dude and one guy who is not so old, but he just throws his body around like crazy, and a couple other people. So our coach throughout the last few years has like rested players like after back-to-backs.
Oh, he didn't just rest players this week. He didn't just rest players this week. He didn't even send them to the game.
Well, see, that's the thing. The thing is they had already had a long road trip a couple weeks before, and then they were on a 6-game road trip. They were playing they were going to play their fourth game on the fifth day. So 4 games in 5 days, and this fifth game was against the defending world champions. Okay, and so basically, the way I see it is that we were put in a. Is it basically when they made this schedule was made so that the Miami Heat, the defending champions, could blow out the San Antonio Spurs on national TV. Because the Spurs, like I say, have older players. They hardly ever play great on a back-to-back. So the coach decided, okay, you know what? We play this game. We're going to get our ass kicked. So I'm going to rest my players. Okay, I'm going to send them. He sent them home, and he played the bench. And you know what? Until the last minute of this game, this bench almost won the game. So it wasn't a block. He played the best chance that he had to win this game was to play the bench. And he pulled that card, and he played that card. And then David Stern, so the hissy said before the game, said, oh, you can't do this. Okay, well, you don't have a problem with the legacy of Kobe Bryant. You don't have a problem, you know, all these other times. So you're having a problem now because Miami is Miami, and it's on national TV. You know what? If this was against Golden State and it wasn't on national TV, David Stern wouldn't have said shit. This is just, it's just bullshit favoritism. I think David Stern is fucking full of shit for doing this, you know. And then $250,000, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? San Antonio's not the biggest market team out there. You know, we have an owner because he's courteous and owns the team. And we don't lose the team.
Yeah.
So I think that was some serious, serious bullshit for him to do that to the Spurs.
Well, let me say this. When you go to a basketball game, a lot of people pay a lot of money to sit in NBA seats. They're at the...
There's a disclaimer on the tickets, right?
Oh, I know. Don't get me wrong, I know. But for him to, on purpose, sit a bunch of the stars, I mean, not just sit them, they didn't even come to the arena, they didn't come to the city, they didn't even get on the plane. For him to do that is like taking star power off the court and out of the arena, out of the state. Didn't even put him on a plane. So I understand why David Stern was upset. I get that. But at the same time, it's this late in the season. Who cares?
It's kind of like, you know what it kind of reminds me of? It goes into like a wrestling MMA term. This is like the Dana White, what's the fat ass on the Ultimate Fighter?
Ray Nelson.
Ray Nelson. It's
Roy
like
Nelson.
Dana White, Roy Nelson's argument. Roy Nelson's like, David, let's win the show, let's get a contract, and then you can do whatever. Dana White's like, let's have the most exciting fight. Well, you know what? Some of these guys that he was telling to have these exciting fights, I haven't really watched the show, so I don't know who has or who hasn't.
Sure.
I'm sure there's been a couple of exciting fights, but guess who's fighting on the show? None of them. So
right.
Exciting fight didn't actually help them.
True. But when I go to, when I used to be able to go, I used to go to about 5 NBA games a year when they were in town. You know, three to five, I'll say. And I got to go one year when Jordan came back and he was wearing the number 45. If for some reason they thought they could run through the Sonics, which with Vin Baker as the star of the team, that would have been pretty easy. But if they had thought, okay, you know what, we're going to run through the Sonics, screw it, Michael, you stay home, I would have been upset as a Sonics fan not getting to see one of the Bulls play. You know what I mean?
Well, that year I was a season ticket holder, and I didn't get to see Michael Jordan play that against the Spurs because he did sit out the game.
Well, but he was in the arena, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Probably. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. By the way, I'm right. Dennis Stern's wrong. He's an asshole. Fuck him. He let 15 walk away.
With all that said, he's still a jerk. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. I know Horstman is very bitter about it.
Yeah, we're not happy with Dave Stern up here. Don't get me wrong. He took away our team. He bought our team, he didn't buy our team. He let Clay Bennett buy our team, and then Clay Bennett, a couple years later, says, you know, it's nice and sunny down there, OKC. But it's okay. We got our arena bill passed, and we will be having we will get probably Rodney's, Louisiana Pelicans.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Have you asked Rodney about what his thoughts on the name of the Pelicans?
He was indifferent. Rodney is the only black man that I know that doesn't like basketball. So
he doesn't like basketball because his team sucks.
Well, there's that too.
And they play the Spurs like four times a year, so he gets four texts every year saying that asking if his team won that game.
Yeah, the New Orleans Pelicans. Yeah. That's almost as bad as the Oregon Ducks.
They're gonna change the name to the Pelicans, and then in that year, the next year they're moving to Seattle, and then you're gonna have Seattle Pelicans.
And I haven't seen a Pelican in the Seattle area ever. So
unless you change the name to the Seattle Crab Legs.
No, they'll give them the Sonics moniker back, I'm sure.
The Browns. That'd be stupid.
Bah. Seattle Pelicans.
I'm so glad they didn't let the Texans beat the Oilers. The great name of the Oilers is the shitty Texas team.
Yes, the 11-1 Texans, the crappy team from Houston. Please. Those guys are awesome.
They're almost as bad as the Cowboys.
Oh, don't get me started on the Cowboys. Come on now. Hey, Ed, let's wrap this show up. We're starting to ramble.
Okay, no, I got one more topic, though, speaking of NFL. Okay, should they have played the game or should they not have played the game at Arrowhead Stadium?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I would be just fine with them not playing your game. Gosh, at that time, I don't know.
I could be fine with them playing the game, but they should have called one of the colleges that are the nearest university. That's what they should have done.
Move the whole game.
Move the whole game from there. I mean, just to... Had he done this outside of where he would have just off his girlfriend and off himself at his apartment. Okay, I don't see a problem with playing it at the stadium then. But the fact that he did it there, it's kind of tricky. And you know, I still probably, because I don't think I'd want to play any game if my friend went crazy and killed his girlfriend and himself. So, you know, I would prefer they didn't play the game, but I can see the game going on. But I think at the very least they should have gone somewhere else.
I guess I'll say this. When I was in eighth grade, I went to Spanaway Junior High. I had gone to private school from kindergarten to seventh grade. My first year in public school, after wrestling practice, it had snowed the night before. This girl named Jennifer came to our school with her daddy's shotgun and shot her boyfriend and the kid that stepped in front of the boyfriend as she was pulling the trigger. It was a bad, bad scene. We were, as a wrestler, we were basically locked down in the gym. They had locked the doors, and we were on the mats on our bellies for probably around 45 minutes before we got the all clear. I'm in eighth grade. Okay, they cleared the scene. They cleared everybody out, and then they let us go. To this day, I still can see the blood and the outline of the bodies in the snow and the footprints and all of that. That bothers me, as it should. And to this day, I still remember the two kids. I can remember their faces, and I can remember her. And we didn't have school the next day, and we didn't have school that weekend, obviously, and they waited until Monday to get everything cleaned up, and they let us have some time to heal. And it bothered me to see these chiefs pointing up to the sky like he's up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he got a ticket to go up there. Come on now.
Yeah, like I didn't watch the game. All I know is I saw someone post that players were doing that, which kind of like got on my nerves. It's like, it's not like there was any mystery. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, maybe during the show or right before the WWE show, maybe they were starting to hear things, but there's still question about who knew what or whatever. There's no question on this one. Pretty much out. She went to a concert. She came home. He got jealous. He freaked out. He killed her. He went to the stadium. He killed himself. There's no doubt to the story of what happened. And, you know, you're coming off bad if you're going to do something like that because, you know, it's just you're honoring the murderer. You know what I mean? People give me a hard time because I can still say that Chris Benoit is still one of the greatest wrestlers I ever saw. That's just my opinion on his wrestling. That doesn't give my opinion on Chris Benoit himself. Whereas when they did this, it's like they were okaying the fact that, okay, it doesn't matter if he killed anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It doesn't matter that he orphaned a child that's not even a year old, you know.
3 months old. By the way,
yeah.
I think Adam Carolla said it best. I don't have a problem with you killing yourself, but just do that. Stop right there. You know, all that stuff you did beforehand. Don't do that. Just kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's not okay, and don't do it. But don't do all that other stuff that led up to you putting a bullet in your head. I mean, to actually go and do it in front of, you know, office staff. You kidding me? He had problems, and obviously he had problems. So, go talk to somebody. Take a long walk. You know, get it figured out. Don't. And as I heard this week, that guy has been a thug like all his life. You know, he's always been a thug. And you know, hey, that's what happens when you're a thug.
That was crazy. It's exactly. Different that saying it not be, you know, that something like that happened and it wasn't part of wrestling.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Act feel more respected, you know, sport.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if we find out, you know, a few years, you know, even later on this year that he had this violent head trauma and all this, and you know, I'm sure that's going to come to light as well. So,
yeah,
man, it ain't just wrestling. Life in general sucks. You know, people got problems from all walks of life. It ain't just wrestling.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we'll go ahead and end the show. So any parting words?
On that happy note.
That's like when Peach was co-hosting the show and he said, oh, let me tell you a funny story. My parents' house burned down. I was like, okay, that was real funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, we won't leave you
before
there.
Before we end the show, I want you to grab if there's any of those maple bars left. And send one to me.
No. Put it in a box overnight.
Yeah. First class delivery all the way. And then
it'll be there in 4 days.
And then you could punch that black guy in the face for me for ruining the show for this week.
I'm not doing that.
Why not?
Because he's my buddy.
He won't call the police, he's black. He knows better. they'll come, he'll be all beat up and they'll arrest him.
Louisiana man arrested in Puyallup. Yeah, I can see it now.
Well,
anyway.
Everybody come back next week. Maybe Craig will be able to get us a guest. It's kind of been a while, Craig.
Yeah, I know. It's my bad on this time. I've been busy, brother. Been busy.
Busy chauffeuring and buying maple bars for Ronnie.
Hey, what was our caller's name again? We got to give a shout out to him. That guy saved the show today.
One Sylvia or Sylvia One?
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Logan Time Traveler do a show together. Check that out. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Everybody come back next week. And everybody come back next week. And I hate everyone in Seattle.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Hands are K-4!
Oh, no! What the hell?
I dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.